Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Mark Carlotto back with us, aerospace engineer, more than 30 years of experience in satellite imaging, remote sensing, image processing, and pattern recognition. You received a PhD in electrical engineering from the Carnegie Mellon University back in 1981 and has published numerous technical articles and books, of course. Dr. Carlotto contributed extensively to the investigation of the face and other structures in the Cydonia region of Mars, wrote a book back in 2016 called The Cydonia Controversy, analyzed anomalous objects in the STS-48 and STS-80 space shuttle videos, and participated in a recent study of unusual surface features on the far side of the moon. Mark, welcome back. Good to have you.
Hi, George. Nice to be here.
And happy holidays to you. Hope you have a wonderful Christmas and a great start of the new year.
You too. So far, so good.
Excellent. Mark, let me take just a few minutes before we get into your new work beyond Atlantis, which is amazing, by the way. How did you get involved in the Cydonia story?
It was reading the newspaper. There was an article about the face on Mars and back in 1985. And, it talked about this formation and how, you know, planetary scientists had decided it was just a rock formation, an optical illusion. But looking at it, my intuition said, no, that can't be the answer. There's got to be more to that. And so I started digging. And at that point, I was out of school, PhD, and mm-hmm. working for a fairly conservative aerospace company. And doing that kind of thing was like, do I really want to get involved in this? And this whole other world opened up, and it's been a wild ride.
Tell us what your theory was then and what it is today.
No, back then it was trying to determine whether it was an artificial structure or not. That seemed to me to be the key question. And so that's what I did. I wasn't terribly interested in alignments and context and things like that others like Richard Hoagland were. But we worked together and we had a good relationship through those years. My take on it at that point was I was pretty open-minded. It could be, ET, it could be indigenous Martians, it could be a previous civilization from Earth. And at this point, after spending the last 4 or 5 years now looking at Earth mysteries, and ancient civilizations and sort of where we came from, and sort of putting the ET hypothesis on hold, just sort of for sake of argument. Let's look at some other possibilities. I think it's possible that it was an earlier civilization from Earth, maybe a founding civilization back, you know, some dating that I did. There's an article I posted on Before Atlantis that actually redoes the analysis that Dick Hovind did a number of years ago using star charts and basically looking at patterns matching, stars matching the constellation, the Pleiades, and sort of approaching it in a different way. And I get a date of about 280,000 years, which is like kind of in the early days of the, you know, the early Sumerian kings. And, you know, if you're familiar with the Sumerian kings list, it goes back the 300, 400, by some accounts, 500,000 years ago. So, you know, this is the possible connection between Earth and Mars. So it may not be the remote past. It might have been early in our prehistory. That's my current take today.
So you're still convinced, though, that it could be artificial?
Yeah, and you know, it's really strange. I really expected to find more really compelling stuff. I mean, there's a few formations that are interesting, but nothing that has really struck me as being any more compelling than the face and the surrounding structures in Cydonia. Especially the face. The face is a remarkable object. And people, even geologists, have said to me, you know, it's remarkable how symmetrical it is.
Well, let's jump ahead to today, where you have been looking at some of our lost civilizations. Your latest book is called Beyond Atlantis, Vestiges of the World's Lost Civilizations. Tell me your thoughts on what you think Atlantis might have been, first of all.
Well, I'm less inclined to think of Atlantis as a place. I think of it more as a time.
Okay.
Because there are stories of ancient civilizations and flood myths throughout the world, and tales of civilizations in all parts of the world, including the desert regions. You know, T.E. Lawrence of Arabia, talked about Atlantis of the Sands. He believed that there were vestiges of a prehistoric civilization in the desert, buried under the Rub al-Khali in the Arabian Peninsula. And so I think Atlantis, I'm not discounting that there was, you know, Plato's account wasn't factually correct to some degree. But I think there was also other civilizations in other parts of the world in earlier times. So, you know, what I do in Before Atlantis is kind of roll back the history even before, you know, 10,000 BC, which is when roughly when Plato said that Atlantis existed, and others like Hancock and Bavall and other researchers have found evidence to support that. I wanted to go back even further. So that's what I started in the Before Atlantis, and Beyond Atlantis is really the culmination of that work, where I present a lot of evidence to support it. So it's sort of, I've been trying to follow the data to see where the data leads, and I'm convinced that there's hundreds of sites throughout the world that point to four locations on Earth that are highly likely to have been previous poles. And we can get into that later. There's a lot of reasons for thinking that. But again, I'm with this analysis, I'm more into the context, whereas, you know, in Mars, I was like really sort of focusing on, well, is it artificial or not? These things on Earth are truly artificial. They're made by some hands, human or otherwise. So what I'm trying to do now is make sense and figure out what the chronology might have been. How old could the earliest structures have been? And basically reasoning through geometry and climate change, using a lot of different kinds of information, sort of a convergence of evidence approach to coming up with some answers that are a little different from what others have been looking at. I'm looking at stuff that's a lot older. You know, I'm not interested so much in 10,000 years ago. That's pretty far back for most people. But, you know, people are talking about, you know, like Graham Hancock talks about the end of an ice age civilization during the Younger Dryas.
Sure.
Well, so where did that civilization come from? So my theory kind of addresses the time before that and the time in eight, perhaps multiple ages before that. Anyway.
And, of course, Plato believes that Atlantis per se sunk. Do you still think there was some Earth tragedies a long time ago?
Yeah, you know, there's so much textual and other evidence suggesting that there was a sunken continent, but geologists say that's impossible. But you know, it's clear that we know so little about our planet. I mean, there are new theories now about the nature of plate tectonics, that perhaps it's being driven by the moon and not so much by mantle convection. So, you know, geology, the big breakthrough in the 1960s was proving Wegener's theory of continental drift, you know, which became known as plate tectonics. And that's a proven theory. But that's not to say that they know everything. So the possibility of sunken continents, I think that's an open question. I'm sort of pursuing a different hypothesis, but I'm not ruling it out. You know, I don't want to say, you know, it can't be anything else. I'm just trying to open the door to consider other possibilities. So we, you know, kind of cover the bases.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Graham Hancock's going to be on the program next week, Mark. Anything you want me to pass on to him?
We're all grateful. He started this back 30 plus years ago, and it's changing paradigms is really hard, and it's going to take a long time. And a lot of us are grateful that he's been in the fight and has been pushing this for so long. Congrats to him on his work and his series, his Netflix series. I know it's generated a lot of controversy, but it's also opened up a lot of people's eyes to the possibility. So congratulations to him.
Absolutely. Are you familiar with the work of Michael Cremo, Mark?
Yes. Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
He believes civilizations are millions of years older than this, what modern-day science is saying. And that may echo some of the things that you believe.
Yeah, you know, he's a lot of his work keys off the idea of these out of place artifacts, these oop arts, and some of them do go back that far. And you know, I I'm not going to rule that out. I think, and what I have in the beginning, the first chapter of Beyond Atlantis is a page and a discussion of examples of out of place artifacts that are, you know, perhaps tens of thousands of years old, and they're throughout, you know, exist throughout the world. And this is part of the argument I use to sort of establish the possibility that there wasn't a single civilization, that it was really a worldwide civilization that's existed for a very long time on Earth, just by virtue of the diversity of artifacts, you know, the Serapeum in Egypt and the statues and other pieces of art in Luxor, you know, attributed to the Egyptians, and you know, the enormous stones at Baalbek and in the Sacred Valley in Peru, and you know, the Antikythera mechanism in Greece. I mean, the list goes on and on. And so, I think Michael Cremo was the first to really, or one of the first to, suggest that we should sort of take these out of place artifacts seriously, not as like mistakes or just mislabeled samples, but as true as pieces of data that can't be explained by current theories, and so it forces us to re-examine those theories and consider other possibilities. So again, these are Hancock, Cremo, and others are really the pioneers that have gotten the ball rolling, so that we can hopefully we can continue to push the paradigm and look into some new directions.
How many past civilizations that have simply vanished and disappeared do you think there might have been?
I do. The Beyond Atlantis has a lot of photographs, a lot of figures. It's not super heavy with text. I don't repeat a lot of stuff that other people have written about. It's footnoted and all that, and it's pretty. You go through it pretty quickly until you hit the last chapter, and then it's like it's pretty dense with some technical ideas. And one of the ideas there is I look at data. Again, the study that I do is very data intensive, and I look at data, and based on the data, I estimate there's been tens of civilizations of the scope. The magnitude of the Egyptians or the Sumerians, and they've come and gone. Cataclysms, a major disruption was the Toba eruption, this giant volcano, about 75,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
This is well known, and I believe it had a devastating effect on some of the early civilizations. But they rebounded. Just like after Younger Dryas, and likely after the next one, it won't destroy everything. It'll be somewhat of a reset, but not a complete reboot. And some parts of the world will be affected more than others. Those places that are more devastated may those civilizations may end, but others in other parts of the world may continue on. And, I think there's been this cross-fertilization. It hasn't been a single mother, a lot of the researchers talk about sort of the mother or the parent civilization to today's civilizations. I think that's just the last chapter. I think it's occurred many times. And, the evidence for this is mythological and religious, if you will. I mean, I think we got to look at all the sources. It's not just, science doesn't have the answers. I think the answers are going to be found by a synthesis of science and myth and all different sources.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news, with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts, as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.